All right, so we're going through what is our textbook for you, Nevertheless I Live. And we're in the chapter 7 right now, and the book is Seven Steps of a Good Man or Woman, and it's based on that verse, Steps of a Good Man, Order of the Lord, He lighteth in His way, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, because the Lord upholds him with His hand. And so we're thinking of that and applying that and seeing different steps that God wants us to take. And so with the IU program, our goal is not just sobriety, right? We want to go beyond that to freedom from our destructive habits and addictions. And it's really, that's the idea, is that if we don't really kind of change our lives, then it's going to be so easy to fall back into the addiction, right? And so we want to take steps and get as far away from addiction as possible. And so we want freedom from destructive habits, and freedom comes from personal transformation. And so for us to have lasting victory, we need to learn to walk with God, because that's really the key, is that we need His help, need Him giving us strength and guidance. Walking means to take repeated steps, so we want to identify that there are steps that God wants us to take in order to develop our personal walk with Him. And so tonight we're going to focus on the first of seven steps that are listed that help us in our transformation process. And that is on the thought of becoming men and women of the Bible. And so we're going to consider that. And so we want to understand that God's Word is like a road map. And we see that there's different passages where it talks about how God's Word can be a guide to us, can show us the right way. And the Holy Spirit wants to use God's Word to direct our steps. But it's the thing is that if we're struggling to find our way and we're not in the roadmap, then we're not going to be able to be directed differently, right? And so we want to think of it in this way, that to become men and women whose steps are guided by the Word of God, we need to do four things. And so these are steps we take, good habits we want to develop when it comes to God's Word. So it's, we want to read the Bible, we want to study the Bible, we want to memorize the Bible, and then finally also meditate on the Bible. So those are the four things we're going to look at this evening. And so it says, 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And so we need to read our Bibles. We want to learn what it has to say, that God's Word is like a love letter to us, it would be a shame to have it unopened and that we not learn what's inside of it. And so it says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. It's interesting that phrase, give attendance to, it actually means to show up for, or to be paying attention to. And so we kind of want to think of it in that way, because we're seeking to have a deeper relationship with God through which we can be transformed. And so we want to understand is that each morning that God wants to speak to us. He wants to talk to us through His Word. And so essentially what it is he's like, okay, you're opening your Bible today, class is in session. There's something I want you to learn that's going to help you with what you're going to struggle with today. And so if He wants to teach us, it's that thought, well, I need to show up for class, so I need to actually read my Bible. I need to be paying attention while I'm reading my Bible. And that's important, because I know for myself, as a young Christian, it was sort of said, well, as a Christian should read their Bible, right? So you'd read your Bible, and a lot of times they'd have this, like, through the Bible in a year kind of program, and so you'd figure, well, yeah, I'll do that. And of course, a lot of times you get busy, or you might miss a day. It's like, oh, I got to catch up. And so you'd buzz through, like, six or eight chapters in a day, and you do it in like 20 minutes, it's like, oh, I'm still on schedule, but did it actually benefit me at all? Not really, right? It's like, didn't even take time to even think about what I was actually reading. And so it's the idea is that we want to give attention to reading, that we read and we're focused in on actually seeing, okay, God wants to tell me something today through His Word, and I need to be listening and paying attention. And so it's something to understand. It's not merely the reading that's going to grow you as a person. It's the application of that reading, right? And that's a lot of times, sometimes we almost think that, I read like so many chapters that I'll just suddenly be, I won't have problems. I'll just like kind of poof and I'll be the super Christian or something. And just, that's not how it works, right? It's what do we do with what we read? And so it's a thought that it's better to focus not on the quantity of your reading, but on the quality of your reading. Because sometimes, really, God doesn't need to have you read 4 or 5 or 10 chapters to teach you something. Sometimes He can just give you like a few verses. And there's enough, even in just one verse, that might keep you going for the whole day. Just a certain truth that's just what you need for your situation. And so we want to read the Bible with purpose. And the whole idea of it is we recognize God to be real, and we recognize He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to commune with us each day. And so we're looking at the Bible in this thought. We say, okay, there's something God wants me to understand today. Something that's going to really help me. So Lord, what is it? I want to find it. And so we're looking for it. And it's like if we're looking for it with that attitude, we're going to find something. If we're just kind of, I'm just going to read my Bible and it's almost like the Lord has to like have a miracle happen for us to actually stop and look at a verse and see what it has to say. Like we should be having that attention. Say, okay, He's trying to tell me something. I want to be listening, find out what it is. And so then as we read, there's like, oh, this is interesting. I maybe not noticed this verse before, or there's something about it that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And that can be a mistake we do sometimes. We read a verse that doesn't make sense, and then we're like, oh, I'll just keep reading. Where it's actually the Lord saying, well, wait a minute, why don't you stop and figure it out so it does make sense, because there might be something there that's really helpful. And so that brings us to the second thing. We don't want to just read the Bible, we also want to study the Bible. And it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so it's when you have a verse and God's drawing your attention to it, or especially if it's one where it has words or phrases that you don't understand the significance, you want to take the time to study that passage of Scripture and find out what does this actually mean. And so what we do is what we call dissecting and defining. And what that is you take the different words in the verse and you get a dictionary and you look up what those words mean. And you get a full understanding of that word. And so you kind of, it's almost like you take the verse apart, but then once you have a better understanding of the words, then you put it back together. And sometimes you can kind of paraphrase it in a way that you understand, right? And so it's valuable. It's profitable to do that. Yes, it takes some time, but it's kind of the thing. You're digging for hid treasure in God's Word, and it's you're going to find that it's worthwhile doing. And so two tools that can be very helpful in this. One is a Strong's Concordance. The other is a Webster's 1828 Dictionary. A Strong's Concordance, what that is this one guy, James Strong, he went to all the trouble of basically going through and every word in the Bible, he'd find everywhere that word was used in the Bible. And so he'd go, like, say, if it was like strength, right? you can go there and you can find all the other verses that have strength in it, or like whether it's hope or peace or prayer, things like that, that you can use that. It can be really helpful, because sometimes you can find that where there's a thought or a phrase in the verse that gets you thinking, and then it's almost like you can go on this big kind of expedition through God's Word of these other verses that apply to that. It helps you understand that verse better, but it gives you just a fuller grasp of what the Bible teaches about that subject. And then in 1828 Webster's Dictionary, the reason why he uses any dictionary, but of course when you're using the King James Bible, it was its translation, once it was all finished, was like end of the, like I think it was 1769 or something was when it kind of got done. And of course, 1828 was about 50 years later, right? So the dictionary is fairly close. And so you kind of, you see a word there and then you can define it based on what it was. Because there are some verses or some words that they've changed in meaning, or they don't mean quite the same. Like conversation, you think of, nowadays it means two people talking, but conversation in the Bible, when it talks about that, it is actually the way you live. Like it's, you kind of think when someone's like conversing, it's more the sense that they're traveling from one place to another, and so it's how they travel. And so it just helps you to understand that sometimes you look at, this doesn't make any sense to me, but then you realize, oh, that word, the meaning's changed a bit, so then I can dive into it and find out, oh, that's what that means. And it just, it clarifies it for you, makes it easier to understand. And so this is harder work, but it comes with great rewards. And that's sometimes really thinking about that. Where God's drawing your attention to something, you think there's something there that's important. And so I'm going to dive into this and find out what it is, and just see that there's a truth here that can really help me if I am able to wrap my head around it. And it's the thing that if God's trying to point you to something, it isn't going to be some wild goose chase he sends you on, right? That there's a purpose to it, and you can trust in that purpose as you're learning about him. Then thirdly, not only do we want to read the Bible and study the Bible, we also want to get in the habit of memorizing the Bible. It talks about, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And it's that thought, when we have God's word in our heart, it helps us to get victory over sin. And so we think of our heart, the heart we would say to be the emotional center of our lives, that in many ways it's the trigger between the spiritual and the carnal, right? And that's why when you keep our heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life, that if we're basically not guarding our hearts, as the Bible says, and we're allowing our hearts to dwell on all kinds of different things, then when something happens in life, we're going to tend to respond in the negative. We're going to tend to respond in the flesh. We're going to get upset. We're going to react, and especially if we're struggling with a bad habit that has been our coping mechanism in those difficult times, then it's so easy for us to slip back into that bad habit. And so we realize instead, if we protect our hearts and we condition it with Scripture, then that'll help us when that same trial comes, that we respond to it in a healthy way. We respond to it in the Spirit. And that we're able to instead be long-suffering, to have peace, to still be gentle, just not to be overwhelmed by that trial. And so we think, too, that God's Word, it talks about as it being our weapon that we use to fight our daily spiritual battles. It's referred to as the sword of the Lord, right? And so it's that thought that as we memorize Scripture, we lock God's Word into our memory so that it's there for use. And that's something that really we want to understand with memorization. It's It's like you don't memorize just so you have these random verses banging around in your head, right? You memorize because you're going to need them at some point, right? And it's, you hide in your heart so you might not sin against him. But you have that at the ready so you can use it. And so we put God's word into memory, so we're prepared to meditate on it, and so we're prepared to use it in overcoming a trying circumstance. And so, like one example I could use from my own life is that there's different times was struggling with anxiety and worrying about different things that were coming up. But there's one verse in Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2, it says, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble, therefore we will not fear. And so on times where I'd have kind of that bit of an anxiety, then I'd repeat that verse over and over again. And then after a while, I just kind of calm down, and that kind of anxiety spell, or whatever you'd call it, would just kind of pass and be good again, right? And that's the thing, is that we can use verses like that. Say if you're struggling with anxiety, say if you're struggling with depression, say if you're struggling maybe with bitterness or something like that, right? That there's verses that you can grab a hold of that you can bring to your mind to help you get to a different, to a better place of thinking. So we have reading, studying, memorizing, and then finally, meditating on the Bible. And there's a couple of verses here. This is Psalm 1, 2, and 3, one we're familiar with. That our delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And the person that does so shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That we want to have a life that's prosperous, that's fruitful. And so it's that idea where we're choosing to meditate in God's word day and night. And we see this in Joshua 1 and verse 8. It says, this book of law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And that's the thing, is that we see this blessing, and it isn't just based on us reading God's word. It isn't just based on us studying it. It isn't just based on even memorizing it. It's based on us meditating on it. That we're, what we're thinking about. And that's, we think of the principle that every sin has its origin in our heart, right? And so what our heart is meditating, dwelling upon, that's going to determine what we're going to do and the person we're going to become. So it's that thought. God wants us to delight in his word, right? And delight essentially would be to enjoy his word. And so if we're going to enjoy something, an appetite needs to be created for it, and then that appetite needs to be fed. And so we think of it with God's word, that there is part of our flesh that doesn't want us to read God's word, but we know it's something good for us, right? And so it's learning to say, okay, I need to make time for this. And after a while, if you do take time to study and you find these different truths and you start to apply them and they give you victory in life, then that makes you all the more excited to say, boy, I want to see what God has for me today. And so we want to have that where we feed that appetite of God's word. That I think it was in Job that he said that he esteemed the words of God more than his necessary food. That it was like he would rather go without a meal than go without actually studying God's word and learning about it. And so we want to think about that. And there's another verse Jesus brought up. But it's that idea that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. That we really kind of think, this is important to me. This is what I need, and that this will help me. So it isn't this kind of drudgery, oh yeah, I guess I should read my Bible again. I don't know what I'm going to get out of it today. I'll just kind of read a few chapters and hopefully some will jump out at me. But instead it's like, well, no, there's something good here. And I realize, of course, there's some passages where it's hard to find those things. Like you go through like Chronicles, some of that, or Leviticus, and you're just like, what is this about? But we want to understand that as we go through God's Word, there is things there, and it sometimes, when it's not immediately obvious, it's somewhere we realize, okay, I got to do some digging, and there's going to be something good here. It might take me a while to find it. But we want to develop that appetite. We want to enjoy His Word. And so, this is something too we want to understand with meditation, because there's a lot nowadays that talks about meditation, and we almost have this picture of what meditation is. It's sort of like we have to kind of twist our bodies into kind of a pretzel and everything, and that's how we meditate, right? But really, we want to simplify it. And when we understand meditation, to meditate is to dwell upon anything in thought. And we really want to understand is that through the day, we're always meditating on something, okay? But our problem is a lot of times we're meditating on something that's not really healthy, that we have negative thoughts and they're just overwhelming us, and that just, it brings us down, down, down. And so it's learning to say, okay, I need to sometimes reboot the system, that I'm stuck. Like we've always seen that sometimes on our computer where it has too much stuff on the desktop that you haven't closed any programs in like a week or two, and everything just kind of slow and it's not functioning, right? And a lot of times what you have to do, just turn it off, turn it on again, reboot the system, and it's like, it's fresh, things are working properly. And that's kind of how it is with our brains sometimes. It's just like we've got all these boxes open that are random, that are not, they're just distracting us, and we're not even hardly able to function. But when we kind of reboot the system and we get focused on the right things, then it works so much better. And so it's the thought that as we meditate, not on these unhealthy negative things, but instead on God and His Word, it helps us to think clearly. It helps us to respond to adversity properly. Because you think about it, there's a lot of times where we can get all revved up and upset about something, right? But then if we actually like take a minute to think it through, we realize, boy, I'm getting upset about something that's not even real. That it's my view of things that was not even accurate. That if somebody did this and I thought that they were slighting me and they were insulting me, and you find out later it's like they had no idea that we took it that way and that was not their intention at all. And so we're upset for days over someone when they didn't even mean to do anything to us, right? And so it's learning that. But it's like when we're thinking on God, we're thinking on His Word, it helps us to have the right perspective, learning to forgive other people, and it just helps us to respond properly in different situations. In Isaiah 26:3 it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee." And that's so much what it is when our mind is stayed on the Lord and His Word, then we have peace. That things can happen and we're like, it's no problem. God's got this, I don't need to worry. And so it's learning that. And so it comes as we learn to meditate on the Bible. And so we want to understand it. This is just kind of another way to think about it. We could think of God's Word as being like firewood, that it has the ability to warm our hearts, and not only warm our hearts, but also transform our lives. And but a lot of times what happens with God's Word, it's there and it could do so much for us, but we never actually get it in where it's going to do what it's supposed to do. And so we think of it this way, that all these things that we've looked at, reading, studying, memorizing, meditating, they're all necessary steps, but we got to get to the end of the meditating for it to really do the good that we want. So we think, by reading, it's basically we've gone out in the bush with a truck and we've cut down some trees, put them in the back of the truck, and we've driven it onto our property and dumped them there, right? And so we've got firewood, and that's great. And so that's reading, that we have it in front of us. And that's important. But if we just leave it in our yard, this big chunk of wood, like, is that going to warm our house? No, it's not, right? The chunks of log we have aren't even going to fit in the fireplace. So it's not going to be a help to us at that point. So then, by studying, what happens is we have the firewood cut, split, and ready to use. And that takes a bit of work, right? But we have it where, okay, now it's going to actually fit in the fireplace, and it's going to be useful, right? And so that's good. But then, by memorizing, what we're doing is we're actually bringing the firewood into the house, putting it in the rack by the fireplace so it's ready to be used, right? And so we're good, but if we just left it in that rack by the fireplace, and that was it, like, would our house get warmer? No, it wouldn't do anything yet, right? And so we have to actually take that wood that we've split and chopped and put it into the fire, start a fire, get it going, and that's what's going to warm it up. So that's what meditation is where we throw the firewood into the fireplace, and then our hearts are warmed and our lives change. And so that's the process that we need to follow, the steps God wants us to take as we seek to become the good man or woman that's changed by his working in us. That it comes through that process where I take the word of life that God has and I actually bring it into myself, and it starts to do the good that it was designed to do because I'm making the use of it that God wants me to. And it's kind of a sad thing because a lot of times, even like you could be someone that's gone to church your whole life, but it's sort of, we can miss out on this whole idea and sort of, why am I having so much trouble? I'm reading my Bible, I'm doing this stuff. Well, what are we doing with what we've read? And that can make the biggest difference of all. So, all right.